Breath of fresh air for you today as I bring a retrospective. Lonnie Alameda is going to be with you in the second hour. Yeah, you're going to want to hear that. Tim Linnefelt's going to be with me in the first hour, this retrospective conversation we had on a certain football championship. So stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office. Merrymaids, call Merrymaids. Relax, and it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 70 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
Here we are again, my friend, as we begin another journey, a look back at some of those more memorable moments, particularly FSU football championship. Our own Tim Linnefelt, who brought his perspective on that when they played Auburn. So Tim will have reflections on that and his experiences with the team. And then I've got Lonnie Alameda in the second hour. What an amazing individual. If you need a little encouragement in your life, just kind of a, pep talk, she has clearly established herself not only with the world of college athletics, but among Florida State athletics particularly, and her players. I mean, she has such a remarkable manner with her team and with all that she touches, the people associated with her professionally. Yeah, it's tough to find anything more encouraging, refreshing, uplifting than a conversation with Lonnie Alameda. So stay with me on that while at the same time, we're going to try to carry on and bringing you a few more announcements from the world of the Leon County, Tallahassee, Florida, coronavirus response, and man alive, we're doing all that we can to do our part, are we not? Interesting how there are the deniers, and there are people just determined to live in denial about the whole thing. There are those who are probably on the other end of that spectrum that are hunkered down. They've retreated to their cellar, right? They're just not going to come out until it's all over. Somewhere in between, that's probably you and me. We're not wanting to be stupid about it and trying to be conscientious. And it seems to me there's more good out there going on than there might be those sorts of situations. And in general, maybe you felt the same way too. You really do see a kind of stepping up. So I had the opportunity to join a Facebook group. Now, if you're not a Facebook person, this will be meaningless to you. In fact, it may be annoying. I don't know. But be that as it may, this particular group is entitled Love Your Neighbor Leon. And it is a group of folks who are like-minded, of course, and who are positioned and purposed in like manner, in that almost all of these folks are involved in some kind of not-for-profit charitable organization, each having certain populations that they're serving, each providing services or resources of various kinds in various ways, but all having in common their need for additional assistance from people like you and I who make donations or who share some of those items that they in turn deliver to those in need. You know, and immediately, of course, I think of Second Harvest, right? So if you haven't given $10 to Second Harvest this week, might be a good thing to do, right? So that's all part of our Tallahassee Food Challenge effort to remind us all that a $10 donation will help them immensely. In fact, it buys $40 worth of food. Yeah, there's a 4-to-1 ratio there. So give them $100 and you've just bought $400 worth of groceries. Yeah, that's pretty cool, isn't it? Well, that's Second Harvest. But then again, you've got hundreds of charities and nonprofit organizations of various sizes. Some are teeny tiny little efforts that are just doing their best. Some are bigger organizations, and I mean like Red Cross, for example. Anyway, back to this point with this particular Facebook group, Love Your Neighbor Leon. Last time I looked, they were just over 3,000 members that had joined within about a week and a half period of time. Remarkable. And so what we did as members of the group is simply reach out our hand and say, any of those organizations that would like us to announce for them on their behalf those needs that they are experiencing individually, we'd be happy to do so. And several of you had responded to that invitation, including Felicia Kelly. She is representing the Making a Difference Outreach Center, and they provide free clothing, furniture, toiletries, food to any family in need. So they ask that we give a shout out for their efforts. And if you want to contact Making a Difference Outreach Center, let me give you that phone number, 228-7582. Also, she's saying here, if we know of anyone that can benefit from their services, feel free to contact Felicia Kelly, Making a Difference Outreach Center. And she says, we are changing that one person and one family at a time. So there you go, Felicia Kelly. Thank you for that. Here's one from Rachel Conversi. And she's reminding us the folks at Frenchtown Community could use our help. And you know that they are, again, a nonprofit and operate the kitchen down there, Heritage Hub. So they're open every Saturday. This particular reference has to do with their market. You know, they have a Frenchtown farmers market. Well, every Saturday they're open from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and that's right there on Martin Luther King Boulevard in the heart of Frenchtown. They are in need, it says here, of financial contributions of any kind, any size, if you're able. So they're kind of struggling down there. People could use some help over there at Frenchtown Community. Stop by there anytime Saturday from 10 to 2. Yes, and wear your mask and, you know, be sure to wash your hands. Okay. Then from our good friends over there at Red Eye, Red Eye is doing their part with the Capital Regional Medical Center Give Day, Red Eye's CRMC Give Day. Close to reaching their goal, this is by way of Barbie Morrow that contacted us, Red Eye is providing coffee and muffins to all 600 day and night shift workers at the hospital. She says, we're planning on doing one for Tallahassee Memorial Hospital as well. They started with CRMC just because they have a Red Eye kiosk there inside the hospital. So they're reaching out then to hospital staff, both hospitals, and you can help them And so if you want to help them out, you can make contributions. Here's the website for that, redeyecoffee.com. So that's just like it sounds, Red Eye, E-Y-E, coffee.com. And then you go to collections /contributions for CRMC healthcare staff. Okay. I personally would probably just do better if I Google Red Eye Coffee healthcare staff contributions. That's just me. But I've done my part in giving you that URL, the redeyecoffee.com collections, and then contributions for CRMC healthcare staff. How about that? Just a few of the items that have come our way. I'm going to have more in the second hour of the show. We'll bring you further announcements. Remember, too, that if you have a request of us, something you'd like to have us get out there, email us, topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. You can find any of the shows that we have broadcast over the last 9 years in our archive section on the website. TallahasseeTalks.com is the place to go. Continuing on, we're going to have this retrospective conversation with Tim Linnefeld. So you stay with me. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
You're listening to a Tallahassee Talks retrospective broadcast.
Tim Linnefeld is here in the studio. Tim, how are you, sir?
I'm doing all right, man. Fighting off this cold that I think I caught on an airplane or something. But other than that, I'm hanging tough.
What an amazing week it has been. The BCS Championship being blazoned across the airwaves and the various sporting news sources, and what a battle. And here we are a week ago, or almost a week ago now, and you were at the big game reporting on behalf of Osceola, mm-hmm. the fine publication that it is. And for those of you who don't know, Tim is the editor-in-chief for Osceola, a local publication all about Seminole athletics. And I understand you got a commemorative issue coming out shortly that'll be hitting the press or hitting the newsstands.
It should be a lot of fun. Look back on all the highlights of the season, and certainly not very many lowlights for this season at all. So we'll be loaded with photos and columns and stories, and really kind of try to tell the story of. Maybe the most memorable, most remarkable season in school history.
It seems to be.
So it's been fun to work on and kind of get through everything in the last couple of months, and
including the celebration that's happening today.
Yeah, that will be in there
Campbell
today.
Stadium.
That'll be in there today, and that should be a pretty fun scene as well.
Folks, I mean, the Osceola is a great publication. If you're not familiar with it, be sure to check it out. It'll be a local newsstand. You can subscribe to it, have it delivered right to your doorstep, or you can pick it up around town. But here we have Tim all to ourselves, who graciously provides the Linnefeld Sports Report. And Tim has been doing that dutifully all through the last 3 years. And, we're beginning in February our fourth season. Can you believe that?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's been an amazing ride so far.
Where are our lives going, Brian?
Hard to believe. Well, yours is on the way up. I don't know about that.
I certainly hope so.
You're in the right place at the right time. And
if I can get out of my own way.
For my part, no, that's my line. For my part, I'm over here just trying to stay on mic and not get too distracted. But if you think about where we were, even halfway through the season. And we had these conversations on and off, the famous Jameis and all of that. And this is all prior to, controversial headlines and alleged charges being filed and this kind of jazz. This was just about a young guy.
Yeah.
And I mean a young guy, 19-year-old, redshirt freshman, right?
Yeah,
who steps up to the plate or up to the goal line. And
says, the plate too, as well.
Yeah, and the plate, and says, "I'm gonna make some people turn their heads."
Yeah.
My goodness, he certainly has done so. Let's get down to it, talking about the game, and of course, being there in mm-hmm. the capacity as a reporter. Your observations for that first half. What do you think?
Well, man, it was really kind of I think a stunning turn of events for a lot of people. I think nobody at Florida State, certainly not any Florida State fans, ever expected to be down 21-3. And I think all but the most, you know, intense and maybe a touch, you know, out of touch Auburn fans had to be surprised. I think Auburn felt confident going into the game, but I think if you had told them 21-3, that they would be, you know, even they would be a little bit surprised. But you know, as well as I thought Auburn played in that first half, and as really poorly as I thought Florida State got out of the gate, you know, that 21-3, it's a little bit misleading in that, you know, Auburn's first touchdown was caused as the result of, you know, the punts that swung the game. Auburn's punt that landed it right around the 1 yard line for Florida State, and then Florida State's subsequent bad punt that Auburn, you know, returned it. They only had to go 25 yards to get that first touchdown.
Yeah.
And then later, after Jameis Winston fumbled, they only had to go 27 yards to get their second touchdown. And so, not to say that Auburn doesn't deserve credit for making those plays, but I didn't feel like they were just, at least offensively, they weren't coming out and just blowing the doors off of Florida State. I thought FSU's problem was their offense.
Yeah.
Couldn't get going in that first half. And you know, that was a little certainly disconcerting for Florida State fans. You know, I thought, you know, Jameis certainly didn't look like himself at all. He was missing open throws, you know, throwing them too high.
And is that game day jitters? Is that the pressure? Is that the venue? I
can only assume so. You know, I think so many of, if you want to talk Florida State's schedule, and I thought that, you know, that the idea that they hadn't played anybody was overblown. But from a mental standpoint, you know, even when they were down to Boston College in the first half there, I don't know that anybody on that sideline, or really anybody that follows Florida State, ever seriously considered the notion that Florida State could lose this game. They're going to find a way. They'll do it. Down 21-3 to Auburn, or even down, you know, 7-3 or 14-3, you know, I think there are plenty of people at FSU and in the stadium that night who were saying, you know, they could lose this game.
Yeah.
You know, this team's good enough to step on their throat, so to speak, if they keep fooling around.
Well, and Auburn had done that twice before, sure. Again, in sort of fluke situations. But now you're starting to think, well, maybe those weren't quite such the fluke that we thought they were. But here again, you point out.
Might actually be a good team.
Yeah.
No.
But the ball was certainly bouncing in their favor.
Oh, it literally was. I think they had three separate instances where they couldn't handle a punt or you know, have fumbled the ball, and the bounce is right up into their players' hands. Well, you know, that's, again, you make your own luck or what have you. But, I mean, those are plays that kind of could have gone the other way.
Sure.
But you know, it was certainly a slap in the face to Florida State in their season to be trailing by that much. You know, they said that no team had ever trailed at halftime of a BCS championship game and come back to win.
Yeah.
The team leading at halftime was 14-0 going into to Monday night.
And the fact is, the win eventually did occur for Florida State.
It did indeed,
based on one man's performance. Would you agree?
I don't know. I have to think about that. I think the biggest thing, the most overlooked thing about the way they came back was Florida State's defense holding Auburn to one touchdown in the second half. And even that was a touchdown. You know, they held them for 28 and a half minutes, essentially, in the second half without scoring. And what that did was just allow, you know, Florida State's offense time to get back in the rhythm, you know, find itself, get going offensively. And make things happen, because you know we sort of said in the press box that night, you know, when they were down 21-3, Florida State got the ball, and they're you know, getting ready to punt, and they had the fake punt, which kind of, you know, certainly was a big momentum swinger. They go down and score. You say, okay, well, Florida State's made it 21-10. They get the ball in the third quarter. If they come out and score in the first drive of the third quarter, they'll be in business. Well, they got the ball, and then they didn't do that. You know, so what
right,
happens if
right.
you go three and out or whatever they did? They ended up punting. If Auburn goes down and makes it 28-10, well, now it's the middle of the third quarter, and you're right back where you were.
Talking with Tim Linnefeld here, sports editor for Tallahassee Talks, with this expanded edition of the Linnefeld Sports Report, talking Florida State football, a BCS national championship, and you're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Supersigns does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Supersigns is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Supersigns is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Talking with Tim Linnefeld here. If you've just joined us, we are in review of the BCS National Championship game, Florida State, Auburn. Coming out at the half, they're down 21-3. Mm-hmm. Auburn just having their way with the Seminoles, and as you point out, perhaps a little bit surprised themselves. Yeah. Certainly, a lot of us were, but then things started to come around. Yeah. And would you say that one of the most at that point, bring us into your world? Where are you at the half?
At the half, I'm thinking, you know, they've got some serious work to do. You know, they had a big positive by getting that touchdown before halftime. But then, like I said, you know, I thought the most important thing for Florida State to do was to get a touchdown early in the third quarter and put some pressure back on Auburn. Well, and offensively, they just couldn't do it. It took them a long time to really get going. You know, they were able to get a field goal and cut it to 21-13, which is at least a one-score game if you get the two-point conversion, but they, you know, at 21-13, the game still didn't feel very close, you know. So at that point, you know, you're thinking to yourself. My thought was Florida State's defense isn't going to be able to sustain this. I thought at that point Auburn had another two touchdowns in them.
Because they're predominantly a running offense, and that chews up the clock.
And you don't want to be down multiple scores to a running team in the second half because you're just going to run out of time.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, the performance of the defense to, one, keep Auburn off the scoreboard, and two, keep those drives short to preserve as much clock as possible for Jamison company, really was one of the maybe the underrated storylines of that second half. And then, you know, you had the P.J. Williams, your defensive MVP, with the interception early in the fourth quarter that allowed Florida State to go down and get the touchdown that could have been the game-tying touchdown had it not been for a personal foul.
Which everybody had to stop and go.
I'm still not sure. You know, I mean, I didn't see live what happened, and then I saw video, and it looked like they got him for, you know, pointing at Auburn's bench or something like that.
He was baiting them. He was waving at them and taunting the team.
Which is fine.
But he's doing that, you know, right in front of one of the officials.
Yeah, but I that's fine. I think, you know, if you watch enough football games, you see that sort of thing happen a lot. And
then again, we had a horse collar that didn't get called.
Yeah,
you had a face mask that didn't get called.
Jimbo Fisher after the game said he pulled a hamstring running after the official on the horse collar that didn't get called. And you know, those things happen. I just thought, you know, I'm certainly not complaining about the officiating. I think they have a really difficult and thankless job, but I thought in that game, in that moment, for a non-contact personal foul, you know, a non-out-of-bounds or late hit or something,
right.
it was just a tough call. And again, at that point, you're thinking, man, if Florida State loses this game, you know, 21 to 20 or something like that, well, obviously it did. There was much more drama in store over the final 10 minutes or so of the game.
Grief.
But at that point, you're thinking, man, this is a huge moment.
I think that was the point at which I left the room. I just got up and walked out into the kitchen saying, I cannot watch this anymore.
Yeah,
it was killing me.
It was doing wonders for the gastrointestinal systems of the Tallahassee population.
Well, then we get down to that point in the game where it really is getting even more intense, and we're waiting for something to happen, and something happens.
Yeah,
so,
where were you? Well, you know, Auburn went to kick that field goal to make it 24-20 with about 5 minutes or so to go, a little more than 5 minutes to go, and the rules there are that the media can go down to the field with about 5 minutes remaining in the game.
Ah.
And I said, you know, they just scored. So they say, between commercial breaks, I'm going to go ahead and head down. So I catch the last 5 minutes. And you know, you try to you go down there, you try to, you know, gauge the sideline, try to maybe find something that isn't on TV that maybe you can try to write about. Well, I'm going down. We push the button for the elevator. And obviously, there's just a mob of people when we go in this elevator. And I hear an attendant at the stadium say, "Hey, guys, the escalator's going to be faster. They have an escalator. You can go down, you know, five stories." Okay, so we go down this escalator. And about midway through, the place just starts going bananas, just going crazy. I have no idea that, you know, on the other side of this wall, Kermit Whitfield has just taken a kickoff return 100 yards, and Florida State has taken the lead. So, you know, we get out there, and all of a sudden I hear, you know, they have TVs set up around the stadium. I hear the announcer say, and Florida State takes the lead. And at this point, I'm like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. So I'm running down the concourse. I'm sprinting, and if any of you have ever seen me, I'm not the best athlete in the world. So I'm sure we all just looked ridiculous. And we finally get down there to
running faster than red lightning.
Oh my gosh! I tell you what, I didn't have as good a form as him either. But so we finally get down there. I'm like, what in the world has happened? And I see a replay up on the Jumbotron. I was like, you've got to be kidding me! And at this point, you know, I'm thinking to myself, oh, the play of the game, the play that's going to win Florida State the national championship, and I didn't even see it.
And you were in the escalator.
I didn't even see it. So that was a distressing moment for me, Brian.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
But thankfully for me,
than Winston throwing an interception.
Oh my gosh, it was not a good feeling. Fortunately for me, there was much, much more drama in store, more than we had any realization. And certainly by now, people, you know, sort of know what happens next. But you know, I was in the airport the other day, and I struck up a conversation with some Auburn fans that were trying to get home. We were all trying to get home. Travel this week was just a disaster with the weather and flight cancellations and all that. And you know, they were really, really nice, a little bit older. And they said that, you know, they really couldn't complain about the outcome of the game. It was just such a well-played game, or at least a well-played second half. And so many teams made so many big plays. And the what I said to them and kind of my overall takeaway from this game was sort of, you know, had this game ended on any of those plays, had Kermit Whitfield's kick return decided the game, you know, we could call it a classic.
Yeah.
Had Trey Mason, the Auburn running back, had his touchdown run, the 37-yarder, which was a really, really impressive piece of running,
yeah,
you know, through the defense to score with, you know, a minute and change to go. Had that happened, we'd be calling it a classic. And I think most rational Florida State fans, despite their disappointment, would have been able to say, man, we got beat by a great player. Yeah, that guy's a great player.
Yeah.
And we still say it was a classic.
Yeah, yeah.
And then with, you know, a minute and 19 seconds to go, and 80 yards of grass between you and a national championship, and Jameis Winston, Rashad Greene, and Kelvin Benjamin, you know, those guys.
They went to work.
And they made it happen. And for that to happen, you know, is just really just an incredible piece of sports.
It's the kind of thing you're used to seeing at a professional level.
Sure.
Where you've got a 2-minute drill.
Well, and you know, that's what Jameis said after the game, I thought was, you know, it's almost cliche, but it's I think he believes it to the point where it offers an interesting look into his mindset, into the mindset of those types of athletes. You know, he said, that's where I wanted to be. He said, that's what the Drew Brees and the Peyton Mannings and the Cam Newtons and the Tom Brady's. Sorry, I was forgetting the fourth one. That's what those guys do in those situations. Yeah. That's what they want to do. You know, he said it's easy to go out and lead a 2-minute drive.
Right.
When you're up 50-0,
right?
You know, to be great, you got to do it in that situation, yeah. And I think that's such a, you know, it's an obvious mindset, but I don't think that many people have it, and that they have the mindset and the ability to actually make it happen, yeah. And to see that, you know, it kind of what I wrote from that night is, you know, the first three quarters, Jameis looked as bad as he had all year, but you know. What matters is what you know, a minute and a half to go, national championship on the line. This is where you show what you're made of. And I think he kind of confirmed what everybody here has known about him the entire season, which is, you know, when the lights are on, when the pressure's on, when you got to have it, you know, there might not be anybody, you know, better in the country that you want to have in the huddle.
Yeah. Sports editor Tim Linnefelt, the Linnefelt Sports Report here with a special edition.
You're in tune with
Sports Retort. Yeah. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with us.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
We, the people of Tallahassee, in order to express our heartfelt gratitude to you who stand in the gap on the front lines of this horrific battle facing an unseen enemy, to you who remind us every day the meaning of courage and selfless devotion, to you, our doctors and nurses, technicians and assistants, our first responders and firefighters, law enforcement and military personnel, and all those who humbly go about supplying us with food and medicine. To you, our caregiving community heroes, we offer our heartfelt gratitude and our pledge to continue to do all we must to stay safe. May we all remain in the hope that one day soon we will come together in a chorus of gratefulness, all of us, together again. This message brought to you by Wood and Glass on South Monroe and this station.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
You're listening to a Tallahassee Talks retrospective broadcast.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, talking with Tim Linnefeld, sports editor for Osceola, and our very own Linnefeld Sports Report. Glad that you've made it back safely after a rather lengthy ordeal trying to get through.
I can hear it
in your voice. Yeah, you're spent. That's okay. We're glad to get what's left of you.
Somebody has to.
You know, and that at that point, we'll segue into what happened after the final catch of the game. Florida State wins the BCS National Championship. Mm-hmm. Where are you at this point? You're down on the field.
Yeah, you know, it was funny.
Finally. I'm off the escalator.
And able to see what happens. So that was good.
You did see the final play.
I did indeed. Well, you know, the funny thing about that, you know, they ran that sort of trick play designed to get the ball to Mason's hands. And I'm down, you know, kind of in the corner of the end zone looking long ways down at the field. So, it's kind of hard to have your depth perception there.
Yeah.
I see him get the ball. I see a whole lot of space in front of him, and I was like, oh, man, this could be a problem. And, of course, it wasn't, and they made the tackle and brought him down. And when I got to see the TV replay later on, I said he didn't really get all that far, maybe the 35 or 40 or what have you.
Yeah.
But from where I could see, not being able to see yard lines, I was like, oh, man, this is
We're not through yet.
This is going to be unbelievable. And after that, man, it was pandemonium. Just the floodgates sort of poured onto the field. They're wheeling stuff out. ESPN cameramen are barreling through, and you got confetti and trophies and
interesting moment too, where Jameis is searching the crowd, and the next shot you see of him, he is in the arms of his mentor, Coach Craig.
Damien. That's
quite a story there, isn't it?
It is, and that was one of the storylines leading up to the game, was the relationship with Jameis and Damien Craig. And they're both from Alabama. Damien, I think,
a real mentor for him.
Sure. And, you know, Damien's kind of a legend in the state of Alabama. Both he's from Mobile and played at Auburn, and just one of those, was like a legendary high school athlete who played his college ball there and now is coach at Auburn. And so for an Alabama kid, like Jameis Winston, I mean, it's easy to see the attraction there. So, I thought that was a pretty neat thing. And Jameis said the whole time how much he loved Damien and how sort of distraught he was after last season when Damien left Florida State to go back to Auburn. He was really kind of brutally honest about that and said, it was really hard on me.
Yeah.
But after the game, he kind of did the whole thing, and then you made your way to the locker room. And one of the most interesting things to me was just trying to watch how each player kind of dealt with it. You know what I mean? Yeah, a lot of them, were standing and cheering and hugging and all that. And every once in a while, I'd see one who was just sort of sitting in his chair, like you and me are sitting here right now, just sitting and just sort of staring into the ground or staring into space or whatever. And I went up to him and I said, you know, hey man, you know, what's going through your mind right now? And he said, like, he was just dazed. He was stunned. You know what I mean? He's like, some of those guys are just the disbelief that, you know, you couldn't do it. They're not that they did do it. You know, after, you know, some of these guys, and I wrote about this earlier this week, is, you know, some of those guys on this team have been through an awful lot to get here. Some of the guys that, you know, were here for the end of the Bobby Bowden era. And kind of went through oversaw the transition from Coach Bowden to Coach Fisher and so on and so forth. Man, they've been through a lot of turmoil in this program.
Right.
And so, you know, I think some of them were just sort of like, man, this is what it feels like, you know. And I thought that was a really interesting thing. And then, you know, we had some other players in the locker room. Timmy Jernigan, the defensive tackle, especially, somebody asked him about, you know, the idea of being battle tested in the fourth quarter. And you know, one thing I thought that was really interesting that, you know, we made so much out of that storyline of Florida State never having played a close game or a tough game and all that. And, you know, the players really took exception to that. And I don't necessarily blame them for it. You know, their attitude was like, look, man, you know, football is tough. It's hard to play. You know, it's hard to play. You know, this is, and practice is tough. Injuries are tough. You know, getting through a football season is a hard thing to do. And from their perspective, and, you know, we can agree or disagree or you know, compare, but, you know, from their perspective, like, none of this came easy. Are you kidding? Like, you know, this is hard. It's hard to go 14-0, no matter who you play. It's only been done 5 times in history. And so I thought that was really really interesting to hear their perspective.
And we forget the fact that we're talking about young men who themselves are students. So they're carrying a course load and all that goes along with being a student, maintaining themselves off the field. And they have this rigorous, demanding schedule of practice and their own personal health weight training and everything else that goes into it and proper nutrition. I mean, my gosh.
Yeah, and that's what one player said to me after the game. And he said, you know, people don't know. They really don't what it takes to get to this point. And, you know, and I understand college athletics, you know, we can debate, you know, whether it's a worthwhile endeavor. And certainly, you know, college football, college sports has its problems. But you can't deny that the players and the coaches, I mean, they put in
a lot of themselves to
get here. They certainly, you know, take exception to the idea that any of it came easily. You know, and I think there's something to that.
What do you make of Coach Fisher's decision to re-up? To sign his 5-year extension. Some were, you know, obviously were looking at, well, maybe he'll end up at Texas. That didn't happen. I think you're one of the folks that thought he would not make that move, and I was with you on that one. I think he's got roots that run pretty deep here in the Southeast, and in particular here in Tallahassee with his family and Kids First Foundation and all the rest of it. I didn't see him wanting to uproot anything. He's got a great relationship with his star quarterback.
I certainly don't think he would go anywhere as long as Jameis was here. And Jameis will be here another year, and I guarantee you, you know, a year from now, the same kind of things will come up because, you know, college football is a weird deal, and that these contracts, you know, unfortunately, I don't think they mean very, very much in terms of keeping somebody somewhere. That's why you have these buyout clauses that if either side nixes the contract, they have to pay all this money. Well, there's so much money in college football now that it doesn't even matter. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And he's going to be one of the top 10 highest paid.
Sure. I think he's number 9 now. And you know, from now on, you know, he's going to be a guy that anytime, you know, a big job comes open, he's going to be linked to it. I think it's a matter of time before we start seeing him linked to NFL jobs on a regular basis. It's starting to come a little bit, but I think, you know, especially if they have success next year, you know, NFL jobs come, you know, multiple NFL jobs come open every single year. And, you know, I think he might get some looks there. So, you know, it was definitely an encouraging sign for Florida State and Jimbo Fisher that deal got done. I think it's a good, you know, contract after kind of pouring through it a little bit. I think it's a contract that's fair for both sides. But that, you know, it's, I don't know, I just personally have a hard time investing anything into the belief that a coach is going to be anywhere for a long time just because the business is so fluid. It's so...
So you don't think he'll do what Bowden did and kind of hang on to the last?
I don't think anybody will. I think the days of a coach being in one place for 35 years and coaching until they're 75 or 80 years old,
it's big business.
I think that's done.
Yeah. Folks, this is the way we like to do things here. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, bringing you a little bit more conversation and a little bit more insight into the story behind the story. Tim, you've done such a great job for us all through the year. By the way, Happy New Year. I'm glad that you got to celebrate it in the finest of manners, and that you were out there in Pasadena doing your business and representing us, I think, too,
at
the same time. And, folks, that's what we have here with Tim Linnefeld today. The Linnefeld Sports Report is a regular edition or a regular feature of Tallahassee Talks. And with this special edition, we've had the opportunity to learn more about the big game and about Florida State football. Tim, thanks for being with us.
Anytime, Brian. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're in the second hour of this here fine radio show, the thing you love so much every week, coming your way from the luxurious studios of Moose Magnificat. Yes, there he is, that glorious moose, bringing you the sound of Tallahassee. That's our beloved Moose Magnificat, streaming radio across the world. Talking this week to the people over at COCA, that's the Council on Culture and the Arts, and their initiative to help us better bring the sound of Tallahassee to you through their means. So that's kind of cool, talking early stages now, but they're kind of reaching out to the Moose and saying, hey, Moose, we like what you're doing, and we want to help you get the word out there, so we like that. Thank you very much, dear kind folks at COCA. Got some other announcements for you, too. This by way of Leon County government. The county has joined up with Shop Tally to launch a Pay It Forward initiative. Okay. Now, historically, Pay It Forward Day comes up at the end of April. And that, again, this year is on April the 28th. However, the county invites the community to stay physically distanced and spread only kindness with a new initiative that will support local businesses and nonprofits. So no spreading of viruses, but we're going to spread some kindness by going online. And they're launching it, or have launched it earlier this week. They call it the Pay It Forward Initiative, a web-based shopping portal that gives you and I the opportunity to purchase gift cards from local businesses. Neat. And then you can immediately donate those cards in support of nonprofit organizations that are out there on the front line providing services to those in need. So going back to my earlier comments in the first hour, talking about those organizations by way of this Love Your Neighbor Leon Facebook group. Man, there's a bunch of them. Well, you know, trying to connect the dots is kind of what we're doing. And this is a very nifty way of doing so, all in one move online. And quoting Commissioner Brian DeLoge, he says, during this coronavirus pandemic, our community keeps finding innovative ways to stay separate but united. And this initiative is no different. Again, Leon County Commissioner Chairman Brian DeLoge, he says, by paying it forward, shoppers across our county can support both our local businesses and our nonprofits that are doing such good work during these difficult times. Now, here's another nifty little thing. Our friend Barbara Westcott, she
sort of, what would you say, a disciple of the Domi Station. She started her business back many years ago. She's been a guest on the show several times. She started something called Shop Tally with Swellcoin. So she's the founder and CEO of this particular business. And she's saying, using this Pay It Forward initiative as a community, you can then use the Swellcoin Shop Tally feature to do all of this. Okay, so here's how this works. In cooperation and collaboration with Shop Tally, Pay It Forward initiative makes it easier for you and I to access the whole mechanism, right? So you go online, you go to ishoptally.com. So the goal of the initiative then is to help provide businesses with revenues while helping nonprofits deliver food, supplies, and other services to the people in need. I think that's a pretty cool idea, and I think that we should go do that today. And if you want to check it out, you can just go to that website, ishoptally.com. So there you go with that. There's also then a reinstatement from the county's press people over there to further protect public health and safety, clarify the state order to stay at home. Tuesday's meeting of the county Board of Commissioners approved a reinstating of the curfew for Leon County, which went into effect this last Wednesday, 11 o'clock p.m. It's an amended proclamation establishing the curfew, declaring that all Leon County citizens should abide by the directives issued by Governor DeSantis. And so the curfew is in effect from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. daily, or from night to dawn, and will be renewed each week along with the county's declared local state of emergency. With the governor's order on Friday, April 3rd, Florida residents were encouraged to work from home, and yet can still order delivery and takeout. They can go to the grocery store. You can go for a walk. There's a lot of things you can do. They're just trying to limit the non-essential travel. And if you want to know more about that, you can go to floridadisaster.org, find out which services are considered essential and which are not. Okay, so again, that's floridadisaster.org. All right, I would say, too, on a personal note, there are lots of ways in which you and I can contribute to the welfare of others when it comes to the manner in which you and I conduct business. So if you are in the practice of going about your job and you have people on your side, people in your business of various temperaments, okay? So Carl and I were talking about this a little bit earlier. There are people who, are kind of on one extreme or the other, some who are extremely anxious about the whole set of circumstances, some who are, we would just say in common parlance, freaking out, okay? If you're working with people like that or someone in your business, your place of work, that is genuinely on that side, they're masked up and they're wearing the gloves and they're not coming out of their office, it's a great opportunity for you and I to bend a bit and show a bit of discretion and be willing to accommodate the person who says, man, I'm scared to death. Don't talk to me. Don't come near me. Don't even breathe in my direction. And that may seem a bit over the top for you. My admonition is, let's consider all of us in this situation. There are those who consider this thing completely overstated. It's exaggerated. It's overblown. It's all some elaborate ploy. I mean, conspiracy theories abound, I'm sure. To that person who thinks that you're stupid because you're wearing a mask, again, you're going to have to just smile under your mask and allow the fact that some people just don't agree with you, right? maintain your social distance from that person by all means, because clearly they're not being careful. But a bit of a wisdom there from the Moose here on a Saturday when we're enjoying a bit of retrospective. I've got the conversation I had with Lonnie Alameda coming up when on the heels of their magnanimous victory, they won the Women's Softball World Series back in 2018. I think you're going to enjoy this conversation. So stay with me for more Tallahassee Talks.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Supersigns does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs, too. So for your business or your birthday party, Supersigns is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Supersigns is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
You're listening to a Tallahassee Talks retrospective broadcast.
When we talk about Florida State University women's softball, OMG. What an amazing accomplishment. And there are so many parts and pieces to this thing, well beyond my pay grade. So we have with us this morning Lonnie Alameda. This is the hardest part of the whole thing, isn't it?
Yeah, you nailed
Lonnie
it.
Lonnie Alameda, who is the head coach for the FSU women's softball team. Yes. How'd I do there?
That was awesome.
Welcome,
thank you,
my friend.
Thank you. Gaga, I love it. That's awesome.
Pleasure to have you here. And we have your colleague then, who is the Assistant Sports Information Director, Scott Moriak. How are you, Scott?
Mm-hmm. Doing all right. Thanks for having us.
Glad to have you with us, too. Scott is here to make sure that Lonnie and I keep our facts straight. He's our official fact checker.
He is.
Right. Good. Okay. Because, you know what you're dealing with over here, right? Lonnie's fine. I'm the mess. Let me tell you a little bit about this woman. Lonnie Alameda wrapped up her 10th season as head coach for Florida State softball and did so with a bit of flair, we would say, by winning the 2018 NCAA National Championship. Yes, the World Series. It is the first national title in program history and the first by a school in the ACC. And she has led the Seminoles to 6 ACC championships, 6 straight trips to the NCAA Super Regional Round, final 16 teams, and 3 trips to the Women's College World Series. She's earned 5 ACC Coach of the Year honors. And then came to Florida State after 5 successful years at the University of Las Vegas, University of Nevada at Las Vegas, mm-hmm. sorry, UNLV. Mm-hmm. Scott was about to jump in there, weren't you? Correct me. Where she twice won the MWC Coach of the Year accolades. Wow. Including the 2005 NFCA West Region Coach of the Year Award. And then has this career record as a head coach, 640 wins, and has a 483-150 record at Florida State with 182-42 mark in the ACC play. This is a winning coach and a winning person. Well, let's jump in on that. Let's talk about this amazing team. Mm-hmm. I have you quoted saying things like, the players have absolutely astounded me. The fan turnout has exceeded all of my expectations. And you said I was happy for the water cannons.
Yes.
Apparently, when you arrived at the airport, right, and all these water cannons are going. And then you said the players were fortunate enough to get window seats and had their phones pressed up against the glass taking pictures.
So cool.
I mean, I think it's fair to say
that women's softball doesn't always enjoy the top billing. You don't get the big spotlight necessarily against, let's say, you know, collegiate football or even mm-hmm. baseball or basketball.
Yeah.
So you guys come to the whole enterprise not really looking for the fame as such, mm-hmm. but by my humble observation, clearly mm-hmm. loving this sport.
The pure joy of it, yeah.
You guys.
Yeah.
Well, you
first,
gals.
I'd like to say thank you for having us.
Oh, well.
This is a tremendous honor. And,
oh, come on.
We just, we're really excited to
ours
share
entirely.
With our community here in Tallahassee something else in sports to be excited about. You know, so 10 years ago when I came on campus, the family feel of Florida State Athletics and then the family feel of the community of Tallahassee was just overwhelmingly amazing.
More so than you've experienced prior.
Yes. Yeah. And, wow. You know, I coached 10 years at Stanford also. And we, you know, the farm was definitely a family, but once you got outside that in the San Jose and everything, it's different, right? So you get here. And so it's just, it's amazing to have the opportunity to bring another team for everyone to jump into and love and be excited about, because football, baseball, basketball, men's, women's basketball, tennis, everyone's so amazing. Our sports are amazing at Florida State. And so we're just trying to scooch on in there and give someone else another opportunity on Wednesday night to come watch some awesome athletics and love up the girls and the team. And we're different. You know, we talked about it, right? We're different. We cheer. We're loving. We get excited about things. We make an error.
Gosh.
We smile.
And, you know what I like about that? There's a kind of embrace of your own, I guess, feminine identity. I don't know what else to call it. Femininity, mm-hmm. I suppose, although that's sort of prosaic. But the idea that you do things the way you want to do them.
Mm-hmm.
So Annette and I are sitting there on the couch watching you guys play. And I said, why can't the guys be more like this? They're so stern and they're so, I mean, you watch one of those pitchers, he's sweating to death, all that pressure.
Yeah.
I'm watching your pitchers and you're like, and they laugh, they screw up and they look at one another and go, whoa, that was stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
But is that an advantage, do you think?
Oh, definitely. And I honestly think inside the men would like to do that too, but there's so much judgment on being mochissimo.
Yeah.
And, you know, girls can be girls and it's okay. Girls can cry.
Show
girls
emotion.
Can do this. You know,
yeah.
Guys can't cry. You know, and so, and I think the world's changing a little bit. If you watch a little Major League Baseball and some of the Latino flair is a little loving and jumping around and starting to get into it.
Right.
But, you know, I think the other side of it too is guys come here to go pro.
Yeah.
Guys come here to go to Major League, NFL, NBA. They come here. We are that status.
It's all business.
Yeah, it's business. And parents come in and you are every pitch. There's a scout back there. There's this, your numbers. We come here to get an education and have some fun. And so we are at the highest level we are right now. So I think there's a little difference in that and expectations from coaches to, you know, Willie's jumping into, he's loving it. I love how he's doing it. It's amazing. But he's got a job to do.
Yeah.
You know, he's got to get some W's up there. He's got to turn these guys into the NFL. And how do you do that? How do you create that culture to keep that same balance?
And to do so, not only as players, but as coaches faced with administration that needs you to make money for the school.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just be frank about it.
Yep.
Because it's not for the love of the game necessarily anymore. It is about what this means to TV rights and, you know, what kind of airtime you're going to get, what time of day you're going to show up. It all translates back to how is this team performing?
Mm-hmm.
So you're trying to assemble your squad.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a roster to take care of, and you got to think about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to think about that. We'll take a quick break here, and we'll come right back. Lonnie Alameda is our guest, and our good friend Scott
Moriak.
Thank you, Scott Moriak.
Uncle Scott over here. He's a big part of our program, yes.
Well, he's here for safety measures. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
You stay
with me, folks. We'll be right back.
We, the people of Tallahassee, in order to express our heartfelt gratitude to you who stand in the gap on the front lines of this horrific battle facing an unseen enemy, to you who remind us every day the meaning of courage and selfless devotion, to you, our doctors and nurses, technicians and assistants, our first responders and firefighters, law enforcement and military personnel, and all those who humbly go about supplying us with food and medicine, to you, our caregiving, community heroes. We offer our heartfelt gratitude and our pledge to continue to do all we must to stay safe. May we all remain in the hope that one day soon we will come together in a chorus of gratefulness, all of us together again. This message brought to you by Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive and this station.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
You're listening to a Tallahassee Talks retrospective broadcast.
So we're back talking with Coach Alameda. She has already got me wowed here with her grasp of, and we've talked a little bit about some of the uniqueness of women's softball as such, as an enterprise, and how that fits into this larger mega mammoth effort for collegiate sports to be this money generating machine, right?
Yeah.
And somewhere in that, you sit back late at night, you're looking at what's going on through the season up ahead, you're looking at the roster in front of you. Mm-hmm. How does that influence you? Mm-hmm. Or does it?
It doesn't. I know I'm hired to win. I could be the coolest person I want to be. That's not going to get me to keep my contract unless I get W's, right? We are all hired for that. But you got to be who you are. You can't let that. That's an outside influence. That's a result-driven thing. And if you do those things daily, you're going to let things affect who you are presently right now, where your feet are. And that goes for anyone, I think. You know, if you stick to who you are, what you're comfortable with, your decisions are easy to be made.
Yeah.
If you're thinking about the outside influences or the results all the time, it creates stress and you can't do that. So technically, and I think that relates to our program. It's about this pitch right now or this opportunity right now. The results will come if we're really good in our process. If you're really good right now at what you do, your love and passion show up now, and that will, you know, again, be a winning
mentality.
Where
was that instilled in you? How that sounds like the way you are as a person. That didn't just come up in your coaching career.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure we could probably sit on a couch and go back into my life and this out.
How far back do we need to go? Tell us about that. Your beginnings. Were you in athletics when you were in school?
Yeah, you know, I came from. Didn't have a whole lot. We just played rec league stuff. And my parents were so great in that. But they weren't involved a ton. They didn't care about stats. They didn't care about stuff, you know. I would jump in a Winnebago and our team, 12 of us, would drive down and play a tournament. We'd come back on Sunday and our parents would pick us up in a Safeway parking lot. You know, like nowadays.
This was high school or college?
High school, yeah. And I didn't play till late. But, I played every sport possible. Kids are now, they're playing softball year-round at the age of 12, you know, and so it becomes so result. Yeah. And I think my family was just, you know, go have fun. You having fun? Do you like it? Do you have fun?
In other words, when the says play ball, you take him seriously.
Just play ball.
Play
and
ball.
So, I think, and then of course you get into coaching, and I'll tell you this, so I coached at Stanford for 10 years, and Stanford was the doormat of the pack. Every team beat us by 15-0. Our cheer was, "It's all right, it's okay, we're going to be the boss of you someday." That was the only thing we could go with at Stanford, and then slowly
Carl, you
built
and I
it.
Should adopt that. I like that. What was it? It's okay.
It's all right, it's okay, we're going to be the boss of you someday.
Write that down, Carl. We're going to put that on our stationery. It's okay.
So then after time, you know, we built that, and we went to the World Series there. When I left to go to UNLV, here I am trying to create a new culture and a new environment. And I tried to be a little stern and a little, wasn't me. I wasn't happy at night. Wasn't me. And I said, you know what? If I get fired tomorrow by being who I am, I'm okay with that. I've got to be who I am, or else I'm going to be miserable in this career you're taking. And I think that goes for anyone, right? Any job you do, you can't go home at 5 o'clock at night and completely be someone different. You know, you've got to be true to who you are. And I think that comes from my family, because it was just, we just traveled, we loved, we enjoyed things. It just wasn't that serious. You know?
What did your father do?
Growing up, he owned Interiors by Bob, was a drapery company he owned. He was a real estate. We now own a car wash. I mean, we traveled, we go, you know, it was kind of independent.
He was an entrepreneur
stuff. He was,
of various kinds.
My mom drove a bus, you know, she drove a bus. So She's up early in the morning driving kids around. And but, you know, in the summers we would go. I rode horses. We'd go packing back in the mountains. Right. We'd sleep overnight in the mountains. Like, and just really cool stuff that kids don't get to do anymore.
How many siblings do you have?
Yeah. A younger brother, but he's like my older brother. He's the smart one.
And, I relate.
He's the smart one. So he's 2 years younger. Just me and my brother, my mom and dad. And, you know, I got one grandparent left, and she's 95. So
were any of them with you for the series? Were they on site?
My brother and my dad. My brother, if he could live anywhere within 2 hours of this place, he would be here so much. He loves it. He loves the kids. But he supplies soap for car washes. He's a distributor out there in California, and a family guy. And but my brother and my dad were out there, and they were down on the field.
Oh, cool.
And it was, I think they really truly enjoyed it. But, you know, they're just...
Did that help
you, down-home people,
knowing that they were there, or was it not even in your mind? You were just so focused?
Not so focused. You know, at that point, you get to that point, and the program's going to be the program. You can't stress. We're going to win it or we're not. You know, like, what we do September, October, November, and February, how we grow then
is
going to be
the...
Yeah. So if you stress towards the end, there's going to be no magic at that point. It's already, the proof has been in the pudding. The ingredients have been done, you know. And so I got to sit back and...
The cake is baked.
It is. It is. And just watch it. And so it was fun. It was so fun to sit and see the kids and staff. And
okay, so then you're as amazed as we are, because you're watching your players out there. And yes, you've done all the prep, but you couldn't possibly have imagined this amazing play from third base where she stretches herself out. Have you ever watched her do anything like that before?
She does that all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So this was no news to you.
Well,
you certainly act surprised.
And
you're a great actress, too, because we were all like, do you see what she just did?
I was so happy for the moment the world could see Jessie on the biggest stage.
For the way she was.
For the way, she is, the way she was.
Yeah.
She comes from humble background in Tampa. Didn't play high level softball. No one recruited her. She gets the opportunity to come up here, and you know, we've got the one camera. We get the ACC network next year, but we get the one camera, and here's Scott and I, and we're trying to promote like what Jessie does. Did you see this play by Jessie? Well, we have this one camera in the outfield. You can't see it. You can't appreciate it. Now, all of a sudden, there's 36 cameras, Oklahoma City, the world's watching, and she makes a play that Kobe Bryant says, wow.
Will make her famous forever. And you had other athletes across various sports doing that same move in their own sport, right?
Yes.
So it became this sort of icon, right? Like a meme almost that everybody's like, oh, I want to be like Jessie.
Yeah. Yeah, my favorite one was golf. When golf did that one, they dove. That was my favorite one. Yeah, but and they still talk about it. Yesterday, you know, the football players, they're yelling in the atrium, "Coach, that play by Jessie," and I'm like, "That was so cool."
I have news. We're going to be talking about that for a while.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. I mean that. I think that rivals wide right by all means.
Yes. the catch, you know,
the catch.
Yeah, the catch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so, it's up for an ESPY this year.
Is it really?
It is up for an ESPY, yes, you're right.
Wow.
That's one of the top 16 best plays, and it's part of a fan vote, you know,
So everyone go vote.
Go vote.
Please
Where do
vote.
We do that?
ESPN.com. There's obviously a little longer on the URL, but that'll get you to the general area.
Well, my goodness. Man, now I lost my train of thought. I was going to ask you. So for Jessie, how does that... I mean, she had this remarkably genuine, tearful post-game press conference appearance, and she talks about being a Seminole and talk cure for cancer or something, you know, to try to top this.
She is playing in the Pro League. We have a Pro League. Many don't know about that. And it's a struggling Pro League, but most Pro Leagues struggle in the beginning as they come about. And so she's down there playing now, and she just texted me last night, you know. She's like, I'm not doing very well. I mean, she's like 3 days into it, you know. But because she's around greats like Sierra Romero, Lauren Chamberlain, Kelly Crutchman, and Kehlani Ricketts, you know, so she's a little stroshed up. And I'm like, you're one of those, Jessie.
You're one of those.
Yes.
We would say.
Yeah, so she's doing that. And
now,
yeah,
are you
know.
Playing in that at all? No.
We used to coach. Our coaching staff coached it. We don't anymore.
Was.
Yeah,
right.
So.
Yeah. And they're called Pride? Or what?
The Pride.
The Pride.
Down there in Vieira Beach, so, yeah.
I was reading an article about that the other day, too. They got Something about the uniforms involved with that, and I don't remember now the story, but in any case.
Yeah, well, they were celebrating the, I think...
Several FSU players, I guess,
yeah,
involved,
yeah, yeah.
They were wearing
with Jessica
gold,
Burroughs, and okay. Alex Powers, and
got
all down there, so yeah.
Got
yeah.
it. Folks, we've got one more opportunity here, if you'll stay with me through the break, to talk with this amazing person and head coach for Florida State Seminoles women's softball, Lonnie Alameda, and we're gonna take just a quick break, and we'll be right back.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio. And you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back talking with Lonnie Alameda. I even got the sense that among you as coaching staff,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you're hugging each other. Yeah. But congratulations for not only bringing Florida State University this win, but what it means to the community.
Mm-hmm. Sport can do so much. It can inspire. It can, what is that? The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat, like 1984 Olympics or whatever it was,
Indeed.
And the Winter Olympics, they said that. And I think it just, when you can tie in, and the community just, when we came around, and I joke about the water cannons, because I've never even... And they're like, we're going to have water cannons, So I'm telling the team, I'm like, hey, you guys, we just landed. There's going to be water cannons. I was so excited, And then I was like, what are water
were,
cannons?
They
I didn't
sound
either.
Very cool.
I'm like, it's pretty much like a car wash for a plane is what it was. But so cool. We're videoing the water cannons and really excited. Yay, we won. And we turn the corner and you see all the people against the fence to welcome us. And I mean, our whole team, it was just like kind of like, whoa. It was just
everybody.
So cool. And everyone from fellow coaches, at Florida State to administrators to people that work in the business office to professors to my neighbors. It's everyone.
Everybody.
So cool. And it got real for us. It got real that we represent Florida State. We represent Tallahassee. We represent the state of Florida. We're changing mindsets in softball. Like, just an amazing moment for us to realize what
why do you think sports does that for us?
Yeah.
What is it about sports, do you think?
I think there's a little underdog mentality, and I think that we went through, so you get this like, oh, they lost the first game, and then you start cheering for them, like the underdog.
Yeah.
Oh, look at how much heart they have. I had so many emails and letters and, people from Maine and Washington, the state of Washington. I'm not a fan of softball, but I watched every minute because the heart and the passion that you guys showed. People love that. They love to see people vulnerable.
It's the human aspect of that that determination.
Then there's moments. There's some athletic events that aren't that exciting, and some where you get that moment, and the girls were that this year. They were that.
And for this community, and you mentioned this, there's been this marvelous embrace that I wonder if it has a lot to do with how we take ownership of that particular team or that sport, so it's not just you, it's us, and that's our team, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we'd have to ask, I suppose, a panel of psychologists to explain that to us, or maybe social psychologists, because it is a social phenomenon, and it seems to kind of have interactive aspects to it, because you get excited, then I get excited, then he gets excited, everybody's getting excited here.
Yeah.
And now we have water cannons shooting
water cannons,
at our play.
Yes. And I know what they are now, yes.
Yeah. And how did that all happen?
But for
the rest of us, the contribution that you make Must feel like a kind of, how does it feel, I guess?
When you think it's amazing. About, yeah. I 10 years ago when I came on campus and Monk Bonasort was, and Randy Spett were the two people I met with, and it was family right off the get-go. And, you know, I said, like, I want to be a part of changing a culture. Like, I want to do something no one's ever done, and that would be to win a national championship here and to win it for the ACC, like be that flag program. Because you could go to the SEC or some other places that's already done it. History's already done, you know. But, like, if you come here where people are genuinely love sport and they have a family feel and you're representing the Seminole tribe, and there's just so many cool stories about Florida State and our community that, I mean, we're big-time athletics. It's big-time athletics. Every team, everyone here. Yeah. Yet your Starbucks coffee guys know who you are every day. I love that. I love that we're just the small family, so proud of all of our teams.
Right.
And, you know, you have that responsibility to make sure you go work your tail off for everyone in this community. And then all of a sudden, they get to see you at the highest stage, and we're all together, and we won that together. It's just so cool. Uh-huh. Yeah.
What's the next thing? To go back and win again next year, be back-to-back?
It's... honestly,
too hard to imagine at this point.
No, I mean, that obviously to be the last team with a W of 300 college Division I softball teams in the country is an amazing feeling. But to me, the opportunity to meet with the next team that gets a chance to play in the uniform. So we talk about team 35, and now we're on to team 36. It's the challenge of getting team 36 to believe in who they are. And that's what's so fun. You know, team 35, it's a different mix. Team 34 was awesome. Then we have a different mix in team 35, and you got to live with that team and figure out how you're going to be the best. But you have this history and this legacy that you've got to build. But you get kids to believe in each other, and then you get an Elizabeth Mason as a freshman to come up big time in a World Series for you. And it's just that, I think that's the coolest challenge, is every year it's just a different team with the same vision, but they're going to go about it different.
Does it bother you that some players do get more notoriety just because of their play than others? Or do you just say, hey, look, that's just how it rolls?
It's part of it, yeah. Yeah, and we talk about it and identify it. And I think it's with any team or any company.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes in companies, someone's getting the accolades, but there's little workers underneath. But if you really love where you're at, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who gets the name on the wall. You are a part of something that a lot of people can't ever be a part of.
Yeah.
How many people are going to win the last game of a championship in anything, NFL, right, NBA, right, college? Like, that's so special. So if I'm the water girl or I'm the star pitcher, that is so special. And, you know, so, yeah.
I wonder if that's one of the reasons why your players, the team, loves you so much, because you bring with you this level of humility that you don't have to necessarily abide with.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you have achieved. And if anybody has the right to be a bit huffy about that, it would be you, I would think. But I find in your eyes the same look that I find in Sue Semra.
Mm-hmm.
And she has sat in the chair you're sitting in. And I get that same look.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, I love the game.
Mm-hmm.
I love my players. And I love myself enough to know it's not all about me.
Yeah, yeah, it's not. Yeah.
Yeah,
and that's the honor that we get in being a coach. You know, is we get the opportunity to give back everything that we've learned. And, you know, every team, every player, every place I've been, I've learned stuff, and I'm just trying to give what I've learned and then trying to learn. You know, so it's a continued give and take, right? Teach me, Team 35, what I can be better for Team 36. I'm going to give them as much as I can. Our staff is like that. Scott's like that. Our whole entire staff that has been together, we all have that same mentality. We're here to be about the student athletes and their growth as people. And through sport, they can grow as people. And I think that's the daily living. Whatever becomes of that, a national championship, amazing. But if you're daily living, learn the lessons in life and keep growing, it's an amazing energetic environment.
Folks, wouldn't you love to have her as your personal life coach? I'm telling you right now. And these women that she has coached, they're without a doubt are absolutely gaga about her. And clearly they are your kids.
They are your
daughters and your sisters and all of that.
Yes.
And when you start to recognize how much that plays to the side of a winning environment,
we
should all take a lesson. Thank you for helping us
further
learn that lesson this morning.
Thank you for having me.
What a
this
pleasure.
Has been fun. Thank
what
you.
What a pleasure you are. Folks, man, I wish I had another hour to sit here with this young lady, but, you know, she's got stuff to do. So Lonnie Alameda and Scott Muriak are good friends with Florida State women's softball, world champions they are. And we can't be any prouder of an organization and of these individuals who have brought to us such a remarkable achievement. Let us all go forward and do as much as we can in our own way to achieve such things. Great show. I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope that you'll continue to practice the proper social distancing, observe all of those things that are meaningful as we go through this thing together. Folks, we are the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat, Tallahassee's radio to the world, bringing you all local artists playing their original songs. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.